Hello, church.
Hello.
Good evening. It's great to be with you. My name's Nick. For those I haven't met, I'm the associate vicar here. It's wonderful to be together this evening. This evening I want to ask a question. We've got these two young people being baptized, like publicly declaring that they want to dedicate their lives to following Jesus. Now, why on earth would they do that? Why would they do that? It's not a normal thing to do on a Sunday evening, is it? Why would they publicly dedicate their lives to following Jesus? I mean, in some ways, it is going to make their lives harder, right? There'll be times where they get mocked for it, as people that are Christians here in the room know. There's times you get mocked for it. There'll be times where they have to stand out and go against the flow. There'll be times where they have to make sacrifices. Christian life's a life of sacrifice. Why on earth would they do this? Like, if you know them, I mean, they're pretty normal. I mean, pretty normal, right? At least they're not like complete weirdos. So why would they do this? What have they seen in Jesus that makes them want to publicly follow him, dedicate their life to following him above everything else? That's the question we're going to be thinking about this evening. And this passage, these words we just had read, basically we're going to see three things about Jesus. Three things that he offers that no one and nothing else in this world can give. And there are three things. If you're here tonight, I don't know whether you're religious or totally not religious, but these are three things that deep down I think every single one of us want desperately. Three things we're going to see that Jesus offers to you and to me, wherever you're coming from. Three things. First of all, life. Secondly, purpose. And then thirdly, pruning. That one doesn't sound so good, but we'll get there. We'll get there, okay? Life, purpose, and pruning. Three things he offers each one of us. Okay, so first thing we're going to see, life. Life. Check out verse 4 and 5 with me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right, this is the night before Jesus is executed, and he's having a meal with his closest followers, his closest friends, and he gives them this image that he's the vine and that they're the branches. Now think about that for a sec, okay? The branch, here we go. I got this at a garden center yesterday. I don't know what kind of plant it is, but just go with it. Okay, go with it. The branch coming off the side doesn't like have life in itself, right? The life, if you like, is in the trunk. It's in the vine and it flows from that into the branch. And Jesus is saying, if we're connected to him, like a branch connected to the vine, then there's a special kind of life that flows into us. Now, what's he talking about there, right? Because we're all alive, as far as I can tell here. What kind of life is he talking about? We're all breathing. Well, he's talking about something deeper than just physical life. He's talking about the deepest part of us. He's talking about our souls. He's talking about having spiritual life, being alive to God. Now, let me explain. Look at this branch for a moment, okay? It looks all right, doesn't it? It looks fairly alive on the outside. It's got these nice green leaves. Looks like it's got plenty of potential. It looks alive on the outside. But inside, it's cut off from the source of life. And what's going to happen? It's going to wither. It looks great on the outside. It looks alive. But deep down inside, it's cut off from the source of life. And like this branch, Jesus is saying, look, it's possible for you and me on the outside to look very alive, for you and I to run around and chase our goals and fall in love and pass exams and whatever. But that inside, deep down, at the deepest part of us, to not have spiritual life, for your soul to not be alive to God, I don't know if you know the band Mumford & Sons, but they had this this great quote in one of their songs in their first album. It says this: "Awake my soul, for you were made to meet your maker." And the Bible would say, yeah, yeah. Our souls are made to meet, to have a relationship with God. And when you've got that, it's like your soul wakes up. And the great news here in these verses, right, is that Jesus is saying that he can give you that. Look at verse 5 again. He says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit." If I'm connected to Jesus by faith, then spiritual life flows into me. It's like my soul wakes up to a relationship with God, comes alive to God. A whole new part of life opens up. Life, spiritual life, alive to God. Does that sound good to you? I mean, if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself religious, does that sound good to you? If you're here and you would call yourself a Christian, don't forget how awesome that is. Jesus makes us alive to God. Life, life. That's the first thing. Next thing we're going to see, purpose. Next thing, purpose. Here we go. I came across a quote literally just before I came out by this old dead bloke called Dostoevsky, okay? And he said this. He said that the mystery of human existence lies not just in staying alive, but in finding something to live for. Finding something to live for, purpose. Do you have that? You found purpose? Something to live for? Well, according to this image that Jesus gives, that's another thing he offers to each one of us. Purpose, right? Now, where am I getting that? Well, did you notice he keeps on talking about fruit? Check out verse 4 with me again. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." He keeps talking about fruit. What's that talking about, and what's it got to do with our purpose? Let me explain. Imagine for a moment, right, if you've got a branch connected to an orange tree. What fruit would it produce? Not a trick question. Oranges, right? If you've got a branch connected to an apple tree, what fruit would it produce? Apples, yeah, you'll get it, good. If you're a branch connected to the God tree, what fruit does that produce? Well, God fruit. Now, Jesus is actually saying something really profound here. He's talking about the characteristics of God beginning to show in your life. He's talking about your character and the way you treat people beginning to change to the point where the beauty of God can be seen in it. So that people look at your life, and as they look at it, they see something genuinely divine happening there. Fruit of God's Spirit growing in your life. Purpose. How's that for a purpose? Now, I think to really get what Jesus is saying here, though, I just need to explain. When he uses this image, this metaphor, he's referring to back to a bit earlier in the story of the Bible, a bit in the Old Testament, where God took his people and he planted them, if you like, in the ancient Near East. And he said to his people, he said, "You guys, you're going to be my vine. Your purpose is to bear fruit, to be a blessing to the nations all round. You're there and you're meant to fight injustice and you're meant to love and serve the poor and you're meant to show God's beauty and his goodness by serving and loving the people around you so that they come and they see you and it draws them back. They want to come back into a relationship with God through it." That was the purpose of God's people. They were to be the vine that bears fruit. But you know what happens? Right, over and over and over again, what they do is they try and turn away from God. They don't want to listen to him. They don't want to obey his rules. They try and push him away. And again and again, what happens? They don't kind of flourish and find freedom. Instead, their character, it's like it withers. Instead of loving the poor, they become corrupt and exploitative. Instead of fighting injustice, they start to commit injustice. So what happens if you turn away from God? It doesn't make you free. It doesn't make your soul free. If you cut off from the source, it makes it wither. And so they're meant to be the vine, right? They're meant to have this purpose of bearing fruit in the world. But they keep stuffing it up, keep stuffing it up, keep stuffing it up. And that's why, guys, it's a bit of a mic drop moment in a sense here. In verse 1, Jesus comes along and Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. If you look in verse 5, it says again, I am the vine. See what Jesus is saying there and why it's so exciting? This idea at the heart of the Christian faith, this idea that God the Son comes and he does what you and I fail to do. Like he totally and always trusts God and has that life in him, that fruitfulness in him. And so now if I come to him and I connect to him by faith, not only does God forgive all of my sin, but I can be drawn back into that purpose that I was made for. So that now in me, in my life, the beauty of God can begin to be seen. How he puts it again in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So that people come and look at you and they see the character of God shining through. You become part of this purpose that is so much bigger and so much more beautiful. Verse 8, in verse 8, down the bottom you can see, he puts it this way. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Right, you become then part, you join the disciples, you become part of this worldwide movement of Jesus followers. Which, by the way, the church, it is, if you look throughout history, it is the biggest movement, worldwide movement, the world's ever seen. It's the most ethnically diverse movement the world has ever seen. You become part of this thing that is so much bigger, and your life has this purpose now of showing God's glory to the world, of loving people, serving people, helping the poor, fighting oppression, and your character in the middle of that becoming more and more God-like and showing him to the world. This new purpose, and this purpose of my life, suddenly my life, it's no longer just about me. It's not about me getting popular, or me getting successful, or me feeling good, or me feeling happy, or me, it's about something so much more valuable than that. Something that's actually worth living for, something that's worth dying for. Bearing fruit, showing God's glory to the world. Purpose. Purpose. That's the purpose, the kind of purpose that people long for. It's what Jesus offers here in this image. Life. Purpose. Thirdly, pruning. Pruning. Have a look down at verse one with me. Have a look down at verse 1 with me. I'm the vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, again, this one might not sound so appealing, being pruned, but if you understand it, it is actually talking about a good thing. I've got a mate who owns a vineyard. He really is that posh. This is actually it. It's his vineyard. And he says that once a year what happens is, in order to help the plants grow, you cut off all the bits in them that are holding them back, basically. All the bits that are stopping them from being as fruitful as they could be. And if you walk down the row when they're doing that and you didn't realize what they were doing, it might look like the gardener's trying to hurt the plant, but that everything they do, every cut they make, is so that it can become more fruitful. And Jesus here is saying that if you're connected to him by faith, you get God himself, your maker, who knows you and loves you like no one else ever can, who knows your potential. You get him pruning you helping you to become more than what you are now. And again, like pruning, that's not always easy. It hurts. But God, through your life, as you read the Bible, as you pray to Him, He prunes, He cuts out old destructive habits. He cuts out the attitudes that kind of drag me down, that hurt me, and that over time hurt other people and turn me in on myself. He prunes me. He prunes you to make you more than what you are now, to help us flourish through life. So there's those three things, okay? Life, purpose, and pruning. There we go, pruning. Life, purpose, and pruning. And so I suppose, so what then? Final thought. What on earth has this got to do with you and me here today? Like, what's Jesus telling you and me to do? What should we do about this? What does He tell us to do? Well, do you notice this right there, verse 5? He says, remain in me. Start of verse 4 as well. It says, remain in me. What does that mean? It means to live pressing into Jesus by faith, pressing into Him. And so here's a question. I want everyone in the room, answer this question in your head, right? Whether you call yourself religious or not, I'd love you to answer this question in your head. Are you pressing into God, or are you pulling away from Him? As you think about your life, are you pressing into God, or are you pulling away from Him? See, the invitation here from Jesus to us tonight is to press into Him. Maybe you're here this evening and your whole life you've been pulling away from God. Well, Jesus is inviting you tonight. Press in. Turn back. Why not? Why not investigate this? Why not find out if these words, these promises from Jesus could possibly be true? If you're interested in that, we're running a course tomorrow night called Honest Questions. We're going to hear more about it later. It's at Wetherspoons. It's a chance for people to come, ask any questions they've got, find out more about this hope. Why not come along? Why not press in? And for those of us here this evening, maybe you would call yourself a Christian. I want to ask the same question. Are you pressing in, or are you pulling away? Are there areas of your life where you're tempted to pull away from Him? Invitation here, right here, verse 4, remain in me. He's inviting you to press into Him, to His purposes for your life this year. Remain in Him and you will bear much fruit. Press into Him and His purposes for your life and you will bear much fruit this year. So Jesus offers us three things: life, purpose, and pruning. What are you going to do? Are you going to pull away, or are you going to press into Him? Let me pray to finish. Oh, great God and Father, we thank You that You love us so much. Thank You that You want a relationship with each and every one of us. Thank You that through Jesus Christ and what He did, how He succeeded where we failed, thank You that through Him we can come back to You. You can make our souls alive to You. I pray, Lord, this evening, that if there's anything holding us back, if there's anything pulling us away from You, we'd let go of that now and press into You this evening and in the weeks and months to come, we pray. In Your name, and so that You would get all the glory. Amen.